I was just out and about. Thought I'd see if anybody wanted to play some round ball.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast's daily NBA show, featuring Jeff Clark from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
What's up, hoops handicappers? You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast daily NBA show. It's your host, Jeff Clark, sports betting analyst over here at sportsbookwire.usatoday.com. I'm red hot this week, coming off a 3-0 Thursday, 10-2 on the week, 19-7 this year, just running beautifully, getting a little lucky. We'll talk about that in a second, but I have four best bets to cap off the business week here Friday, January 14th. We got a 9-game slate in the NBA. As always, our odds are provided by our wonderful sponsors, Tipico Sportsbook. I'll do a little ad read for Tipico Sportsbook as I'm handicapping these games. But real quick, let's talk about our Thursday, January 13th performance. Again, I went 3-0 yesterday. I hit on the Milwaukee Bucks money line over the Golden State Warriors. The Bucks beat the Warriors 118-99 in a game that probably wasn't as close as even that final score indicated. The Bucks went into halftime. It was a primetime game. They went into halftime up 78-37. Giannis was just utterly dominant. He had 30 points, 12 rebounds, 11 assists, triple-double. The Splash Brothers were very ineffective, had an off night. Really, just the Warriors got punished like I said they would. The Splash Brothers combined for 23 points and 7 of 22 shooting, 4 of 13 on 3. Golden State got punched in the mouth and was never in that game. That was a rocking chair cover. So if you followed me on that one, you cashed easily. You didn't even have to watch the entire game. I didn't watch the entire game. It was so uncompetitive. So good on us for that. The next game that we hit was the New Orleans Pelicans. Laying 3.5 points when they hosted, I believe, the Los Angeles Clippers. Another just blowout on our end. That was a rocking chair cover. Never a sweat. Pelicans won 113-89. They won three of the four quarters, tied in the fourth quarter. Brandon Ingram, we talked about this yesterday, has been pretty good. Actually, has been sensational for the Pelicans. And the Pelicans are getting healthier. Right? I like how they're playing. If they can only get Zion's butt back on the floor, they could be a team that could possibly even contend for that 10th and final play-in seed in the bottom of the West. The West is pretty terrible. But Ingram finished yesterday with 24 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. The Clippers are struggling without Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard is still on the mend. There's no real timetable set on when he or Paul George will come back. Paul George could come back in February, or I would anticipate sometime after the All-Star break. The next game that we hit on, we rode the hot streak with the Memphis Grizzlies, which we're getting off of. We're getting off the Memphis bandwagon today, but I'll talk about that in a second. We hit with the Grizzlies minus 4.5. And they hosted the Minnesota Timberwolves. They beat the Timberwolves 116-108 in a game that was actually a lot closer than Memphis's cover would indicate. That was a seesaw battle with Minnesota winning most of the game, actually. I'm going to dub the Memphis-Minnesota game the John Conchar shrug game. John Conchar is a backup guard for Memphis that played out of his ass last night. And if you followed me, Bet Memphis, you can thank John Conchar. Donate to a charity of his choice because he balled out. This fool had 15 points, shot 6 of 7 from the field, had 17 rebounds, hit a crucial 3 in the final minute to put Memphis over the number in that and pretty much key the cover. Also, he was defending the point guard for Minnesota, D'Angelo Russell. So this guy was, I'm pretty sure Memphis's leading rebounder, defending their primary ball handler and hitting clutch threes. John Conchar was just wonderful. So our hot streak continues by backing the red hot Memphis Grizzlies. They probably shouldn't have covered, but we'll take the cash. Again, 10-2 this week. 19-7 this year. I've actually misquoted my record on Twitter the past couple days. My apologies. I gave myself one less loss. No excuse for it. I just, I don't know, kind of had a brain fart and miscounted my sheet. So my bad on that. But I am 19-7 this month, going red hot on these podcast picks. I actually gave out on my Twitter OKC plus 5.5 a few minutes before they tipped off. I added it to the tweet about this podcast or the sportsbookwire.com post for this podcast. I quote tweeted that and said, is it too late to add OKC plus 5.5 after I saw Brooklyn Nets injury report? OKC covered that, but I'm not going to count that in my record. Into my bet slipping podcast record. I just bring it up to mention, please follow me on Twitter. Your boy gives out handicaps, takes, some gambling analysis. I definitely tell a whole bunch of jokes, talk a bunch of shit, but check me out on Twitter at Jeffrey, G-E-O-F-F-E-R-Y underscore Clark. Just for some daily handicaps and some Twitter entertainment. But moving on to the Friday 9-game slate, I have four best bets that I'm going to give you. My best bets are the Celtics plus 3.5, the Bulls, Celtics plus 3.5 when they visit the Philadelphia 76ers, Bulls minus 3.5 hosting the Golden State Warriors. I'm taking the Spurs plus 3.5 when they host the Cleveland Cavaliers. And then I'm going to take the Dallas Mavericks plus 2.5 to end, well, at least cover against the Grizzlies, and I think they're going to end the Grizzlies' win streak. But let's talk about the games real quick. Celtics-Sixers tips off at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Celtics are 21-21, 76ers 23-17. Like I said, Sixers are favored 3.5 points. Boston has won 3 straight over New York, and then a back-to-back with Indiana. They're 2-1 against the number in those games. Philly lost as 5.5-point favorites to the Charlotte Hornets, 109-98 at home Wednesday. That was one of our two losers this week, so not been out of shape about that at all. I can put the losses behind me and handicap objectively. These two teams have split the head-to-head series, regular season series this year. They're 1-1 straight up and against the spread, but Philly has covered 6 straight in this head-to-head series. What I think makes this game different is Boston having its bigs, Robert Williams and Al Horford, actually makes a huge difference. Philly won the previous meeting December 20th. Embiid erupted for 41 points on 52% field goal percentage and made 12 of 14 free throws. But neither Williams nor Horford was active in that game, which made it a lot easier for Embiid to dominate the interior and get to the line. Williams and Al Horford are actually really good at on-off free throw rate. Williams grades in the 89th percentile of bigs and adjusted on-off defensive free throw rate, and Horford grades in the 83 percentile. Just having them on the floor is going to help keep Joel Embiid off the line and keep him, again, less dominant in the paint. When Williams and Horford were on the floor in Boston's 88-87 victory December 1st over the 76ers, Embiid put up 13 points on 3 of 17 shooting. So having those guys back in the lineup is going to make a huge difference contending against Philly's All-NBA center, Joel Embiid. Boston is also 4th in adjusted defensive rating, and Philly struggles against quality defenses. They're 2-6 straight up with a minus 6.4 adjusted net rating, 6.4 points per 100 possessions, and they have a minus 5.9 ATS margin, according to cleaningtheglass.com, versus top 10 defenses. This is also a better spot for Boston. They're 4-0-1 against the spread in their last 5 as a dog, 6-1-1 against the spread in their last 8 versus teams above 500, whereas Philly 6-11 against the spread at home and 3-7 against the spread at home versus teams above 500. Also, Boston is better than its record indicates. According to cleaningtheglass.com, they actually have a minus 3.1 win differential based on adjusted net efficiency, which essentially means the Celtics should have 3 more wins than their record indicates, which would put them, I think, let me look real quick. Actually, that put them at around the same record as the 76ers, around the same winning percentage. But either way, for all those factors that I previously mentioned, I'm taking the Celtics plus 3.5. Next game, I believe it's a primetime game. Golden State Warriors struggling a little bit, and they're visiting the Chicago Bulls. Warriors are 30-11. Bulls are 27-12. The Bulls are 3.5-point favorites in this one. Golden State has lost two straight road games at Memphis. We cashed with that one. They lost 116-108 on Tuesday to the Grizzlies, and they lost last night at Milwaukee. We obviously just talked about that one. Cashed that ticket as well. Chicago got absolutely boat raced by Brooklyn at home Wednesday, 138-112. That was a pretty embarrassing loss, which I think does kind of factor into this handicap. I think Chicago's going to bounce back and be pretty motivated again in another primetime spot after just getting embarrassed at home by the Brooklyn Nets. Golden State also, Chicago should be motivated by getting just blitzed by Golden State in their first meeting this season, 119-93. Golden State easily covered as 5.5-point favorites. That game was November 12th, but I like the Bulls -3.5 here, mostly because Golden State and Steph Curry have been struggling this month. In January, Golden State's 3-4 straight up, 2-5 against the number, and they have the 19th best net rating at -3.1 points per 100 possessions. Curry scoring just 21 points per game on 33% field goal shooting, 28% from three, and has a -13 net rating in January. So the Warriors kind of go as Steph Curry goes, and they both have been struggling this month. Who would offset Curry's struggles would be Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. The only problem is that both of those guys are out. So two of Golden State's title core, Draymond Green and Klay Thompson, are missing. Also a solid role player in Gary Payton II is sidelined with an injury. All three of these guys would be instrumental in helping out defend DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine, Chicago's two all-star wings. Obviously, Dre and Klay bring more to the table than that, but Payton is a great on-ball defender, very good on-ball defender and perimeter defender. He's 70 in the 72nd percentile on combo guards and adjusted on-off net rating at +4.6 points per 100 possessions, according to cleaningtheglass.com. So he would be tasked with picking up some defensive assignments on DeRozan and LaVine. Unfortunately, he's not out there. Also, I do like the spot for Chicago. They're 11-5 against the spread as a home favorite, 5-1 against the spread in their last six as a home favorite, and 7-4 against the spread on the trends there, because the third trend I was about to read I know is inaccurate. So anyways, Golden State I still think is a good spot for Chicago, because Golden State hasn't covered its last four road games, and they're struggling currently, and they're missing three key players if you count Gary Payton's important on-ball defense in this matchup. So we're going with the Bulls -3.5. Next game, Cavs at Spurs. I'm going with the Spurs +3.5. This is more of just market movement or market analysis. But the Spurs, I feel like I match up pretty well against the Cleveland Cavaliers. I like Jakob Poeltl going against Jared Allen, the two bigs. I like the two power forwards in Spurs, Keldon Johnson versus Evan Mobley. Keldon Johnson is a very athletic, almost like point forward, combo forward type guy. Very similar, just like a stockier version of Evan Mobley. I can see those two playing to a draw, if not Keldon Johnson actually just playing outplaying the younger Evan Mobley. Also, I really like the point guard matchup, Darius Garland for the Cavs versus the Spurs, DeJounte Murray. I actually give Darius Garland the edge slightly in this matchup, but it's pretty close. They're both approaching all NBA caliber performances this year, and I think they play each other to a draw. Spurs actually have a lot better ball security than Cleveland, and significantly are better than them significantly in that department. Spurs are third in offensive turnover rate, third in defensive turnover rate, and they score the 11th most points off of turnovers per game. On the other hand, Cleveland's 28th in offensive turnover rate, and they allow the 23rd most, or they're 23rd in points off of turnovers allowed per game. Most importantly, like I said before, it's more of an in-market analysis pick, but it just feels like a trap line for Cleveland. Cavs only being 3.5 points and one of the best ATS or cover teams in the NBA, to me, just screams trap line. Everyone, according to the Yahoo Sports app and pregame.com, is on Cleveland, but this line hasn't budged. I think the 3.5 was cheap in the first place, but seeing that everyone's on the Cavs and they haven't moved this line yet is very scary. Also, the total was 224.5, and I think it got steamed down to 220.5. So there is market movement, or there is line movement in the market of the Cavs and Spurs. It's just not hitting the sides. And to me, that's very scary. So I'm just going to take the Spurs plus 3.5. I'm going to be honest, I'm riding a bit of a hot streak here. So that's why I'm incorporating it into my best bets. It was my fourth and final best bet. My favorite best bet actually was the Mavs over the Memphis Grizzlies, which is the second ESPN primetime game. It starts at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Eastern Standard Time. The Mavs are 22-19. They're visiting the 30-14 red hot Memphis Grizzlies. They're only getting 2.5 points. I wrote this up for sportsbookwire.com this morning, and I gave out the Mavericks plus 3.5. I would play it down to Mavs plus 2.5. I actually would sprinkle on the Mavs money line as well. I was hoping that the pro Memphis market would take the make the Grizzlies more expensive and give us some value on the Mavs, but apparently sharp money is bringing this Mavs number down. Dallas had a 6-game win streak snap Wednesday and a 108-85 loss to the Knicks at Madison Square Garden. They were 2.5 point favorites. I actually, I'm a Knicks fan. I don't really hold that much against Dallas for losing that game. Knicks have been playing pretty well. It was a primetime game. Dallas has been going pretty well, and they just had an off shooting night. Knicks really played their best game of the season, and Dallas probably wasn't going to win that if they played it. They probably wouldn't win that game more than 30 times, or now I'll say 40 times if they played it 100 times. So, I don't hold too much against Mavericks for losing that game. And over the last 2 weeks, the Dallas Mavericks are second in adjusted net rating at plus 13 points per 100 possessions and fourth in ATS differential at plus 6.6 ATS. Memphis won its 11th straight game Thursday. We talked about that. It covered for us. Over the past 2 weeks, Memphis is the only team that's actually more efficient than Dallas. They have the best adjusted net rating. And they have the second best ATS differential at plus 12. These two teams have split the first two games of this regular season series, both against the spread and straight up. The home or the road team won both. But we're liking the Mavs plus 2.5 just because Memphis has played a ton of basketball lately, like a ton of basketball. Memphis is playing their fifth game in 7 days. They beat both LA teams this past weekend, both the Clippers and the Lakers. Then they flew all the way across country back home to Memphis to host the Golden State Warriors in a tough, highly intense game between two would-be Western Conference or thought to be Western Conference contenders. Then they got a hard-fought win last night versus a frisky Minnesota team that's playing teams really tough. Memphis has been playing a lot of basketball lately. I think they're going to be on tired legs, and this is a scheduled loss for the Grizzlies. Also, I think Memphis will have a tough time executing their offense, or at least executing their style in this matchup. Memphis likes to force turnovers, get out in transition, and crash the offensive glass. Well, Dallas is fifth in offensive turnover rate, third in defensive rebounding rate, and they play at the second slowest pace in the NBA. So Dallas is definitely going to try to avoid transition basketball, make Memphis defend them in the half court, where I think they're going to struggle. I have a hunch Mavs are going to get hot Friday, and Memphis doesn't play very good defense against three-pointers. Dallas has the seventh highest three-point attempt rate, and they can get hot from deep, even though they've struggled this season. But Memphis is 25th in defensive three-point percentage. So I like the Mavs matching up against Grizzlies in this spot, and it's also a good spot for Dallas. They're 12-6 against the spread following a loss with a plus 5.5 ATS differential. Also, Luka Doncic is 3-1 straight up versus Ja in their careers. Luka also typically gets up for big games, and this is a national TV game on ESPN. So Memphis has played a lot of games recently, and I don't think their matchup, their style matches up well with Dallas. So Dallas plus 2.5 is my favorite best bet. But again, I have four best bets. Just to quickly recap them, I got the Celtics plus 3.5 hosting or visiting the Philadelphia 76ers. Got the Bulls minus 3.5 hosting the Golden State Warriors, and I'm taking the Spurs plus 3.5 when they host the Cavs. And then I'm finishing it off with the Dallas Mavericks getting 2.5 points visiting the Memphis Grizzlies. That's your best bets. That's your Bet Slippin' podcast. I may be back for the weekend. I'm going to see how my Saturday shakes out. Obviously, it's NFL wildcard weekend. Check out my NFL podcast, which should be hitting the feed today. But I'm going to try to get you guys some NBA content or a podcast this weekend. Here's the thing, programming note. I'm not going to be recording an NBA podcast on MLK Day, which is this Monday, January 17th, just because a bunch of the games tip off in the day, and I'm not going to have enough time to like wake up, produce a podcast. I'll be studying and handicapping the games the night before, but I'm just not going to have enough time to get a podcast out, and you guys won't have enough time to listen to a podcast with my best bets. But I'll get them out on the internet, on Twitter. Follow me at Jeffrey_Clark. Follow the podcast at Bet Slippin' and shoot us a good review if you could. Best of luck whether you fade or follow me. I'll talk to you tomorrow or maybe next week. Peace.
Thought I'd see if anybody wanted to play some round ball.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast Daily NBA Show featuring Jeff Clark from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.